invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. I've been bringing messages about Baptist distinctives and what positions and things that we hold to, that the Baptists hold to, that make a Baptist. And this is something that's connected to that. And some of these things are just bringing forth what the Scripture says that we might understand. I pray the Lord to help us to understand more fully about why we are called and such as that. Some of these points and some of these things brought out are not necessarily distinctives from the standpoint of what someone must hold correctly to be a Baptist, but they are things that I believe are a more full understanding about what the Lord has done for us and helped us. We got to realize that all of us, even though we were saved and we were baptized and a member of one of the Lord's churches, we had to learn. And so we always need to give room to learn. But then on the other hand, when we're trying to understand about what is a church and whether we should fellowship with a church, we should as a church, or we should exchange letters of recommendation or believe that they have authority for baptism and such as that, that's when we get down to the very distinctive and the minimal things that need to be in place and believed for such to be. And so understand there's a balance in things. Me as your pastor, I'm getting into details and pieces and parts that I think help us, but not necessarily all of these things must be received as a whole for someone to be a Baptist. So understand that, and I'll try to delineate that. But this is a connected thing, okay? This is a connected thing. In Luke chapter 3, verse number 1, we read again here about the coming of John the Baptist, and it says, John, in verse number 2, he's John the Baptist, the son of Zacharias, was in the wilderness, and he came to all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He's the fulfilling of this one crying in the wilderness that is prophesied by Isaiah. He says that there is one coming, and that it should be, that the valleys be filled and the mountains be brought low, the crooked will be made straight, and the rough ways are going to be made smooth. That's what this one that's coming is going to do. And in him, all the world, all will see the salvation of the Lord. He comes and he challenges these Judaizers and such that come to his baptism, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the leaders of the nation of Israel. And he said, you've not received the warning of the wrath to come. You've not received that. Bring forth fruits that show your repentance. Okay? He said, don't think that your lineage makes you accepted of God, okay, because you have Abraham to your father. Don't think that that just is an in with Jehovah for you to be received. He said, it's time where things are being reckoned out. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. If a tree's not bringing forth fruit, it's going to be burned. But fruit, the trees that bring forth fruit are going to do so to the glory of God. There are these that are here in this account. They ask him, so what are we to do? And John tells them, live honestly before the Lord. Be compassionate. Be charitable. Be hospitable. And don't be an abuser. Be meek. The publicans come to him and are baptized. What shall we do? They ask. And he said, do your job. That's what you have to do, is do your job. The soldiers did so in verse 14. Verse 15, we come to this. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. That's how much he stood out, John the Baptist did. Is this the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Okay, they're thinking that in their hearts. John answered, saying unto them, all, I indeed baptize you with water. That's what I come, and that's what I've come to do, and what's what I've been sent to do. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. I'm not worthy to pull the drawstring on his sandal. You know, I mean, that's That's a very worthy person. I mean, that is a very highly, highly esteemed person that's wearing sandals all covered with dust, and you're not worthy to pull the shoe latchet loose. But that's what John says about the Lord Jesus. I'm not worthy. The latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And so we've taken a look at this much, and it is a passage that we refer to about the ministry of the Lord, the calling of the Lord, what he did nearly 2,000 years ago and winning salvation. He's the one in John chapter 5 by God given to give life to whomsoever he will. He is the judge. He will burn the chaff. He is our all in all indeed. But what we want to focus on this morning is this of Jesus' baptism of his church. Jesus' baptism of his church. John says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit of God. And so we want to take a look at this sliver of the Lord's baptism of his church. First, we know that in salvation, the scripture bears out to us plainly that salvation is of the Lord, and it's by the Spirit of God. And that is the quickening that's at hand. And Romans is a book that tells us about this, along with Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Galatians. But a few passages in regards to the Lord baptizing with the Holy Spirit in regards to salvation. We've preached about this. We've looked about this in the Word of God. But just for the sake of this message, an additional reference about how this is and how we know that this is so. Some would ask, or there's been those that have debated about how was Adam saved and how are you and I saved? The same way. the same exact way. And there's no difference. The revelation of the gospel, though, was less in those days than it is now. But what they believed in and trusted in the Lord, that the Lord would deliver, and to the extent that the gospel, the good news, was revealed, they believed in the Lord and what he said he would do. Okay? And so all that of the Messiah and the Christ coming and dying on the cross, being buried, being raised again the third day, we don't have vision of that till we get in the Old Testament, till we get to the Psalms, till we get to Brother Isaiah writing. There's hints and there's figures. Abraham said the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. So there's a hint. And so we see that unveiled over the course of time and from the scriptures, and now it's fully revealed. That mystery is fully revealed. But they were saved no different than you and I were by repentance. They needed God, and they needed his way, and they needed his deliverance to the extent that he had revealed it unto them in that day. And so we read here in Romans 8, verse number 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. If ye shall live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And led by the Spirit is an internal thing, okay? It is a heart and soul thing. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Father, Father, or a more effectual term that we would use to speak of our fathers. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So it was with Adam, so it is with you and me. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaks about this, about the Lord baptizing with his Spirit. We, someone that is saved, is indeed immersed in the Spirit of God. You don't get, in regards to salvation, you don't get a little bit of the Spirit. A little bit of the Spirit is all that is needed to save you. When you get the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of God living within. That is life, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, our bodies, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Speaking about our body, our tabernacle, the body like Christ that we will have. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So we see here in verse number 5, the Lord has given to us the earnest of the Spirit. That earnest, the Spirit being that which is first given in the salvation of the soul, that is a guarantee that he will complete our salvation, even the salvation of this mind and this flesh. And so that's another reference and a promise that we have there. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1, we read here in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." It's by the Spirit of God that we know we're saved, we have fellowship with the Lord, and that we can know, that we do know that God Almighty, God the Father, Jesus Christ Father, is our Father indeed. And so we've been immersed. We've been immersed in the Spirit of God in this personal effect of salvation by the Lord. That is a definition. It's the Spirit of God living within, being, again, in service, we are given gifts. But in salvation, you either have the Spirit of God or you don't. And that's the way it is. And that's that Jesus does, again, evidenced by John chapter 5. He gives life to whom he will, like the Father gives life to whom he will. And who is life? Jesus, the Spirit of God. Okay? So in salvation, indeed, Jesus baptizes with the Spirit. But we want to take a look this morning about this baptism of the church. In John chapter 14, Jesus is here in this body of chapters, this group of chapters from the upper room to Gethsemane, where he is teaching his disciples and us. And this begins Well, I can't tell you where it begins. I'm in a new Bible, and I tell you what, I am getting used to it. Anyway, he's teaching the disciples in these chapters, teaching us, and here he is yet in the upper room, I believe. Oh, it's a shame to get so used to your Bible and your notes. Anyway, it's between the upper room and Gethsemane, and he's teaching here. And in John chapter 14, verse number 15, he speaks to his church here. There's no one else that's here. Those in Israel, they're not here, although these are Israelites for sure. But there's only one congregation. There's only one assembly of the Lord, and they are with him and he is with them. And he is speaking to them in particular. In John chapter 14, verse number 15, "If you love me," he says, "keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter." Another comforter. Another comforter in the stead of Christ himself. He's been with them for 3 years. okay? That he may abide with you forever. So this is going to be what's going to happen. Again, he's speaking not just to those he has saved, but he's speaking to his church. And so that context is very important. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Wait a minute. Let's read on. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And so here we have the Lord Jesus promising this of this work of the Comforter. They have the Spirit of God living within. They have had Jesus as the leader of his church that they are in, and he has promised another that will come and be with them and be with them forever. Okay? And so this reference to the, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Now, indeed, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, because he spoke these words before the fulfillment of his gospel, he did come back to them, as we saw the other night, for 40 days. Okay, so he was back with them, but he's not going to be with them beyond that 40 days physically. But this of the Comforter, this promise of the Comforter, will be. We read here in verse number 17, and it says here, I will give you another comforter, verse 16, that may abide with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Lord here is making it clear that there's familiarity already with this of the Spirit, but that he will abide with them and with us here at Olmsted Baptist Church forever. He clarifies that he is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because they don't see him, they don't know him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Okay, so there's familiarity already with the Spirit by virtue of these being saved, but this work that he's going to do in the church is going to be this work of the Comforter that the Lord Jesus has promised. For he dwelleth with you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, the scripture says, who hath also sealed us, the Lord has done so, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So this familiarity of this one that dwells in us already, they already know the Spirit by virtue of being saved, but this work that he's going to do in Christ's stead in the church is what's promised us and promised unto them. The earnest of the Spirit, that we read about that also in 2 Corinthians 5:5 here in regards to salvation. And in chapter 14 here of John, we come on down here. Well, let's read to that point. I will not leave you comfortless, verse 18. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest or show myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? So he asked this question. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, okay, he spoke about earlier in the chapter, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So we've heard about the Holy Spirit. We've heard about the Holy Ghost, as it's here in our King James translation, this third person of the Trinity. We've heard about him and things that he's done and things that he's doing. He was evidenced at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. by the dove that descended upon him that John the Baptist saw. He's the spirit that worked in Zechariah or worked in John the Baptist, okay? And he John was filled with him from his mother's womb. He's the Holy Spirit that took and drove Jesus out in the wilderness to be tempted of Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, so we've heard about him, but here Jesus is revealing that his name in this work and to the church is going to be this of Comforter. That's the reason you see capital C. Same spirit, but an additional work in Christ's stead for the sake of the comfort and help of the Lord's church. Jesus is not going to physically be with them anymore, but the Comforter is. This work of the Holy Spirit. There's a delineation. Is this work of the Comforter promised to the whole world? No, it's not. Does the Holy Spirit of God comfort the saved? Indeed, he does. But this work here is a different work that he does with the Lord's institution in his church. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So he's telling, he'll teach us. He'll teach them, and he did so. It's manifested in the scriptures. And you know what? He teaches us too at Olmsted Baptist Church, doesn't he? He teaches us in a different way and in different things than he teaches the world. It's just, that's just the way that it is. If you're not a part of the Lord's church added by him, this is not directed at you or directed at a person that is not. Jesus saves sinners by virtue of the Holy Spirit living within. But John the Baptist said it, no man can receive anything except it be given to him of the Father. And as Jesus, as we looked at the other night, as Jesus said, come follow me in regards to following him in his church. Unless that is done, there's not this blessing here. Am I saying that those that are saved are just totally ignorant of the scriptures and the word of God? No. But the thing of the Lord's church is told to us to be indeed a mystery. It's a mystery. And it's revealed by the calling of the Lord. The design of the Lord is that sinners be saved, baptized, and join his church. But do all do so? They do not. How are we to reckon that? Well, that must be that they're not saved. Can you really say that? Can you really say that? No, we can't save that. We can't know that. But we do know that the Lord has called us to be a member of one of his churches by conviction, by the truth of his word, and by conviction of the Spirit. And in this body that we have, Jesus has made some promises. Who's here in the upper room? All of Jerusalem? No, just his church. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, because they'll need to be taught them, and shall bring all things to your remembrance. We need to be reminded of things at time, don't we? Especially in this operation of the church, the calling of the Lord. Sometimes we have difficult discernment and judgment to make as one of the Lord's churches. How can we do? Who's sufficient for that? Who of us is sufficient to be able to figure that out? But our Lord Jesus, through his work of his Spirit, through this work of the Comforter, gives us answers, doesn't he? He does. Bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we see here that the focus is not going to be on the Comforter. You know, the Pentecostals, they want to talk about Holy Spirit, fire, baptism, and thrashing around, and not good behavior, and the way that they handle themselves. That's not what this is talking about. This is very orderly. This is according to the commission. This is according to the design. This is true help to function as the Lord's body on this earth. He'll bring to remembrance, he'll teach what Jesus has said unto us. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know why? Because Jesus has provided for everything. He's not going to physically be present with his church, but he is sending another that is just as good as Jesus. Jesus is with us, brothers and sisters. Jesus is with us today. And in this work at Olmsted Baptist Church, he is with us today, just like he was with the apostles, with the first church there in Jerusalem. We just cannot touch him. We just cannot see his body, but he's with us in this same way. In chapter 15, we come over here to verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. The Lord is a package deal. If I had not done among them, speaking about the leadership of the Jews, the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Why? Because of the truth. But this cometh to pass, that the word, the scripture might be fulfilled, that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And that's true. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So you see here, Jesus directing this. The Father will be sending the Comforter. This is the language that is used. The Father will be sending the... You know, the Father is interested in the Lord Jesus' church too, isn't he? He sure is. Like a father's care. Amen? Not only for the children. The Lord cares. The Father cares for all of his children that he saved. But he cares for his church too. And the Father is going to send the Spirit at the directive of the Son, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, okay, Jesus, he's our leader, he's our master and our chief, our Lord, even the Spirit of truth, which he made clear earlier, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit, he's not going to come and talk about himself, but he's going to continually tell us and remind us and encourage us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, don't ever get bored about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever get passé and blasé about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our leader. He's our Savior. He's our all in all. And ye also, by this empowerment and this work that I do and this provision that I make for you, and ye also shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. So they've got a job that they're going to do in being a testimony and witness of the Lord Jesus unto that city and to that region. Then we come to John chapter 16. Verse number 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you them. So he said, I'm telling you things in advance. It's a marvel, and it's a wondrous thing how Jesus told, after I am risen, after I am risen, after I'm risen. I mean, no man can do that. I'm going to die, and after I raise from the dead. Who can speak like that? But Jesus can, and he did. He did just that. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. You'll remember I said it. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. There was no need when I was with you. I took care of things while I was with you. And he did. He watched over his flock. Okay? Was he watching over all of those in Israel? Well, he went and visited many. He went and healed many. He went and saved many. But you know who he was tending to? Those that were following him, his church, his congregation, his assembly. But now, verse 5, I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask of me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. So he's talking about going away, and they're getting sad, and they're just kind of down. You know, we should be down when Jesus goes away. Remember the churches in Asia Minor in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, chapter 3, where it said that Jesus was on the outside of the church knocking, looking for somebody to fellowship with? I tell you what, when Jesus goes away, when we're parted, when we're separated because of our sin, lack of repentance, disobedience, and Jesus is further. I'm not talking about losing our salvation. If somebody's saved, they're saved eternally. But I tell you what, our fellowship can be broken, can it? We need to be sad when Jesus goes away. But he's telling them, he said, sorrows filled your heart. See, he knows what's going on with us inside. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, because he needs to go and fulfill his gospel for our salvation. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. See, if he doesn't go away to die and be buried, so that he might raise again, you and I wouldn't be saved, and there'd be no purpose for the Comforter in the church. But the plan and the order and the work of God must be fulfilled. And even in that, the Lord has provided. It is necessary for the Lord Jesus to sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven till all of his enemies be made his footstool. That's necessary. That's necessary. But the Lord Jesus, as his churches, didn't leave us hanging, did he? He didn't leave us on our own. No, he's made a provision for us. He says, it is expedient for you, verse 7, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you at the directive of Jesus. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I preach messages about this. And I'll just make mention of this. Have you recently heard the Spirit of God on the radio or in the media that you watch, or going up and down the highways and byways of the world, reproving the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come? Have you heard the eerie voice of the Spirit of God proclaiming? We haven't, have we? Well, how does he do it then? Jesus said that he would. He does it through you and me. He does it through his churches. He does it. Who's been given the commission? Not the Lord's people, but the Lord's churches. And that includes the Lord's people in his churches. See that? And so he's going to, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to reprove the world of sin, because we preach there's a necessary righteousness before God. We are to live right. We are to be a good example unto others in the way that we live, following after the righteousness of Jesus. We need, in that there is a warning that God expects righteousness. Not wickedness and sin, because he's going to judge wickedness and sin. He's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. If the Father sent a Savior, that means that we need a Savior because we're sinners. And every time we tell a sinner about the saving grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they reject it, that's the reason they need reproved of their sin, because Jesus came to save sinners. And he goes on to say, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Jesus Christ was totally and completely obedient to the Father, and it's testified by him sitting on the right hand of the Father right now. He was not able to sit on the right hand of the Father till he fully and completely obeyed the Father and the things that he was sent to do for us to the glory of God. But he's sitting there. So what's that mean about you and me? That means that we should obey the Lord too. And you know what? The world, the people in the world ought to obey the Lord too, because he's really, really big on righteousness. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. If the author of sin has been judged by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, does any sinner stand a chance getting off with their sin? No way. You either need your sin paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will pay for your sin in eternity in hell in the lake of fire with no relief, no respite, no hope, no help, alone. And the Spirit of God does that through his people in his churches, by the work of his churches. So he tells us here about another way of saying the Great Commission. Really, it's another way of stating that. And that the Spirit of God will be doing that thing. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. It's not time. Howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's a promise, isn't it? He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. The Holy Spirit of God is powerful. He is sensitive. He has his work, but he is an agent of the Lord in these things. Now, I didn't say that, but God said that. Does that make the Spirit of God less? No, by no means. By no means. But that's what Jesus said that he would do. And he said, what he hears, he'll speak, and he will show you things to come. He is very interested in us too. He shall, the Spirit shall glorify me. Because see, in Jesus, the Father and the Spirit, the Godhead is glorified. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He'll receive what I tell him to say about my work and what I have done, am doing, will do, and he's going to show that to you. Another promise of the Lord, of the Lord's Holy Spirit work of comforter in his churches. It started off with this first church, and it's continued on in the Lord's churches until today. Do those who are not, are those groups that are not the Lord's churches have this promise? Do not. Do not. Is that saying that they're not saved and they don't have the Spirit of God living within? If they've repented of their sins, believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done, and the Lord saved them, they indeed have the Spirit of God living within them. Will the Lord comfort his children? Indeed, he will. But will he do this work of the comforter that he's promised for the church unto all? No, only for his churches. That's what Jesus has. He's talking to these in particular and in specifically. So then we come to John chapter 20. And this is a mystery for some, but I don't think it needs to be a mystery. If we understand about the context and the purpose and the work, what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here, we see this here. This is at the day that the Lord Jesus has raised from the dead. And the first day, Sunday, as we refer to it, first day of the week, as the scripture says, first day of the week, if you look at it in the Greek, it's without fail, first Sabbath. Okay, that's the way it's written in the Greek. And it says here in verse number 19, then the same day at evening, okay, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. This is that we believe and understand that to be that great room or that large room, that large upper room. They were in the same place because they're there for Passover. They're there for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They really didn't understand. And in the end, they didn't understand what Jesus was going to do and fulfilling his gospel by his crucifixion and that. So they're there for that long haul of that those feasts. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And again, you've heard me say it before. Whenever heaven in the scriptures, when the glory of God comes down, angel, spirit of Lord, manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether now incarnate or pre-incarnate, angels or others that are sent, in those very limited cases, whenever heaven comes down, men are afraid. And with about every occasion you see in the scriptures, the one that is sent says, fear not. You know why? Because those that are seeing it are fearing. Okay. And so we're told about that in other gospels that's said. He says, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. That's what Thomas is not here today, but Thomas said he would not believe unless he saw such. And he shows them unto them. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They knew that it was him. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So in this of the Comforter that he's spoken about beforehand, has Jesus sent all of his children in this work that we're told about of the Lord's church? No, he's not. Are all the saved supposed to be a witness and testimony of Jesus Christ? Yes, indeed. But this institutional work that the Lord has given to his kind of church is only given, he's only sent them. Remember, you've got the remnants of John the Baptist's disciples, and what John the Baptist's disciples were to have done is follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find that there were some of John's disciples over in the book of Acts that didn't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They just kept doing what they thought that John was doing, and they thought they would just continue on with John's work. Now, how to explain that, why the Lord would allow it, or why they did that, I don't know what to tell you other than that men take the truth of God and mess it up. But praise be unto God for revealing his truth unto those that he does so. It's not that we're special. It's just the Lord's been merciful to us again. He was merciful in saving us. He's merciful in revealing these truths about his work and his institution here. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." What do you think? I didn't write it, but the Lord wrote it. He baptizes with the Holy Ghost, right? Isn't that what John preached? And who's here? Is this all of Jerusalem? No. Is this some of the those that are staying true to Judaism? No. Are these believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Are they the ones that accompanied with him during the time of his ministry before his fulfilling of his gospel? Yes. Are they saved? Yes. All but one that we know of? Yes. Don't they have the Spirit of God living within? Yes. Why do they need to receive the Holy Spirit of God? Because the Lord baptized his church. He empowered her that day, preparing for his absence. He's already told about the Comforter before the fulfilling of his gospel. He's fulfilled his gospel, and he's raised from the dead. And first day raising after being risen from the dead, he baptizes them in the Holy Spirit from the standpoint of an institution. It's private. It's going to be known public. It's very much like you and I were saved privately. But when we came here to the waters of baptism, we declared it publicly. So it will be done on Pentecost when it's declared publicly unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and 17 other nations around the Mediterranean. But here is the Lord Jesus with his church, baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. They already have the Spirit of the Lord by virtue of salvation, but they do not have this provision of the Comforter. And now they do. Because in this next 40 days, what's Jesus going to do? He's going to come and go. He's going to come and go. According to the Scriptures, he doesn't come back to meet with them till the next Sunday. But they're going to be about the work, waiting for him as he commands, and looking for those things that he has promised. And how do we know that this is so? Whosoever sins, verse 23, ye remit to, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins, you forgive. Right? that there's language like this that we see in other parts of the scriptures, that the Lord says these same things. And is he talking about all of those children that are saved? No, he's talking about his institution. The Lord's churches make judgments about members. When members get wayward, the Lord's church makes judgment about members. And sometimes members have to be dealt with by the church because of their sins. And if they're resistant to repent, then they are even taken and put out of the body, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, with a desire for them to be repentant and be restored. What's he say? Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So he's not talking about just children of God, is he? He's talking about his church. He said, now you've got authority. Now you've got responsibility. Wherever there's responsibility, there needs to be authority. And that's what the Lord does. And we need to be very careful about what we do. But we sure need to make sure that we obey the Lord. Okay? So baptism by the Lord Jesus Christ, baptism with the Holy Spirit of God of his church. The Lord Jesus is with us indeed. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Brother John is John the Apostle, John the Revelator. Indeed, he is a church man. He's going to write in church context. There's nothing general about this epistle that he writes. It's to the Lord's people in his churches. That's the design. Is it beneficial to those that are not members of his churches? Indeed, it is, because the word of God is beneficial to all who will receive it. But here he writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the only Savior. He's the only forgiver of sins. He is that propitiation. He is that advocate. But Jesus is not physically with us. How can this be? Well, again, by virtue of the Comforter work of the Holy Spirit of God is indeed the work of Jesus in our midst. The Lord, as we read in the scriptures, the Spirit of truth, when he has come there in John, he will guide you in all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Our Lord Jesus physically is in heaven, but we physically here on earth. And the Comforter is indeed that line of communication to and from the working of the power of God toward us and in us. The Comforter. The baptism of the Lord's church. Finally, here in this same book, in chapter 2, 1 John, I think it's made clear here in verse number 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. That word unction is the Greek word for charisma. That's the right kind of charisma, okay? Charisma is the English word. Charisma is the Greek word. It's empowerment. It's help. It's spiritual strength and directive that not comes from inside of us, but has been given unto us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Why? Because the Comforter is going to do what Jesus promised he would do. He said, I'm not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He speaks about liars and such as that. We come on down here to verse number 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing, same word as is in verse 20, unction, anointing, Holy Spirit. work of the Spirit by virtue of salvation in the believer, work of the Spirit and the member of one of the Lord's churches by virtue of the Comforter and the church collectively. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him. Our Lord Jesus is with us. He's with us being a child of God, and he's certainly with us in his institution, his church. He's given us great promises. I can't help but think of two verses here that maybe I pray that this will just reinforces and helps us about the Lord's provision for every facet of his design and service, his provision for us in that. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Our thinking, conversation, our thinking, our doing, our speaking, let it be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he, the Lord Jesus, has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what he's done. He's provided for just that in his church. And then remember about the Great Commission. You remember that last verse of that in Matthew 28:20? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world, to the end of the age. So the Jesus baptism of his church. John the Baptist declared that he would do so, that he would save. Jesus tells us he's the one that has the power to forgive sins. He is the Savior, and he immerses with his Spirit in salvation. But he also immersed his church in his Spirit too, in this Holy Spirit work of the Comforter. And we have help. If we ever feel like that we're drifting, if we ever feel like we don't know the answer, we need to go to our Lord asking him for the answer. He's made a provision that we can have the answers that we need, the instruction, the reminding. He's made a great provision for us. This thing of the Lord, this working of the Lord in his church and his kind of church that we are, Olmsted Baptist Church, this isn't a sideline. This is the main work of the Lord upon this earth. This is where he is represented. And it's not the building, it's not the property. It's you and me, the house that we are, the tabernacle, the temple that we are unto the Lord, indwelt by him. May the Lord help us in these things.